Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Jesus, you did come to reveal the Father, and I pray tonight that Father God, Abba Father, would be revealed in a greater way. We need greater revelation and understanding of your presence, Father. And Holy Spirit, we look to you to bring revelation. Thank you for that. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, real quick, just a brief story there. For years, three men were stranded on a desert island. And so one day, a magic lamp washed up to the beach, and they rubbed the lamp, and a genie appeared that granted each man a wish. First guy says, I wish I was off this island and back with my family, and he disappears. Second guy says, I also wish I was off this island and back home, and he disappears. A third man looks around and kind of feeling lonely, but he looks up to the genie and says, you know, I really kind of like this island, and I have everything I want, but I'm getting a little lonely, so I wish my two friends were back to keep me company. So, careful what you wish for, huh? This series, I called it a series about God. Some months ago, I did a series just on the Holy Spirit for 4 weeks. This week, last week, we started this series about Abba Father. This is part two of Abba Father. And then the following 2 weeks, next Wednesday, and then the Wednesday after that, we'll be talking about Jesus. Say Jesus. Now, I feel so strongly about this message, and I know that part of the reason why I feel so strongly about this message is because Jesus himself felt so strongly about the message. Our real opening text is, and I use it several times, is Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When Jesus came, one of his biggest purposes was to reveal God as Father. In Matthew 11 and verse 27 and 28, the first part of verse 28, Jesus said these words, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, now listen, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then verse 28, come to me, and the verse goes on, come to me all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so Jesus came to reveal the Father. He bids us to come to him. And as we come to him, what he does is he reveals the Father to us. And this is more than just, oh, we get to know God a little bit better. You'll see in this class again tonight, it is vitally important for us to have a revelation. And I know I am growing in my revelation of the Father God. As we do, it will have incredible benefits for our life. And so Jesus said he was going to reveal, and this means to uncover or unveil the Father. Who God was before Jesus came, the person of God had kind of gotten covered up. And Jesus wanted everyone to know God like he knew him as Father. Up until that time, God had seemed really someone that people kind of afraid of, not kind of. A lot of people were actually terrified of him. He was very intimidating to people. He was known as God or Lord. And he is still God, isn't he? He's still Lord, but Jesus came to reveal or uncover what had for one reason or another been hidden about God. And really, a further revelation of God. Jesus wants us to know God super close. Real close. Tell yourself, real close. He wants us to be more intimate with God. And he wants to reveal him in a more, and not just more personal, in an extremely personal way as Father. When we know God as Abba Father, this is why it is so critical. We will know that we don't have to be afraid of anything. Now, I want you just to imagine for a moment with me. Imagine life without ever having to be worried, anxious about anything. You're not afraid of anything. Nothing in this life makes you anxious, worried, or afraid. Now just imagine life like that, because this is the life we are meant to live. Now, I know that even as I say that, it's like, well, yeah, right. Yeah. But, oh yeah, that's exactly the way we are meant to live. Now, I will be the first to admit, I have not arrived at the place to where I never have anything I'm anxious of or worried of or maybe even that makes me afraid. But I can say this, the more I'm getting to know and understand the Father, the less anxious, worried, and afraid I am. And I am determined in my life to know him in a better way. And it isn't just digging it. What we need is really to open our hearts wider to that understanding of who he is. So it's not about just working our way into getting to know God the Father better. It's really about opening up our hearts to dare to believe that he is who Jesus said he was. And it's really such a mind-blowing revelation. And he is so good, he is so wonderful, he is so caring, he is so loving, that it can be hard for us to grasp or understand, because he is that good. I mean, he is truthfully, we will never understand or fully get the revelation of how good he is, how loving, how wonderful he is, until we're on that side of eternity. But we can know him better and greater and come to the place we really should believe God. Lord, I want to know the Father in such a way to where I never am anxious ever again.
Amen. That's right.
Now, let's pause for a moment, because I know it's a big ask, but God's a big God, right? He really does want us to live fear-free, anxious-free, worry-free. So I just want to pray this simple prayer with you. You just repeat this with me. Heavenly Father, I believe you are who Jesus said you are. You are my Father. And because of that, I believe you love me, you care for me, you're going to provide for me, and I can live free of worry, anxiety, and fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I don't want you to just see, and I want to just say again, we can discount things about God because we just think, well, that's never going to happen. I don't know if I'll ever not be worried or anxious about anything. We need to just dare to believe for victory, complete victory, to where we live fear-free, worry-free. Just look at me, nod your head, and say, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I want to read that again, that verse, Romans 8, verse 15. for you did not receive the spirit of bondage. See, fear brings us into bondage. You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And so Abba, Father, we know Abba, Father, and it defeats that spirit of bondage that causes us to fear. All right, so last week we talked about fear generally and then being free from the fear of death. I want to look more at some specific areas that we are meant to be free from fear in as we know God as Father. And the first of these is knowing God as Father will set us free from the fear of being rejected by God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, all of these verses tonight, man, I put this class together, I go over them, and as I'm going over them, you know, I got to tell you, the Word of God is just too good to be true, and yet it is true. So listen to these verses. This is incredible. Having predestined us to adoption as sons, and as he says sons here, this isn't gender. We're men and women. We're all classed as sons of God because of our place in Christ. And so it's not talking about gender. Adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Jesus is the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. And so I want you to tell yourself, I am accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. This is one of the most important truths that we can believe about God and about ourselves, is that we have, through Jesus, when we ask him to come into our lives, we are accepted in the beloved. We become beloved by God. We're going to mine that out a little bit more through the class tonight. Because of what Jesus did by dying for us, and when we receive him into our lives, we are accepted by God as sons, just as Jesus was. Amen. Just go, poof, you know. It is. It's completely a mind blower, and yet it's true. I have a great story I want to read. It's a familiar story with some of you, but it's just wonderful. So, and true story. A seminary professor was vacationing with his wife in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And one morning they were eating breakfast at the little restaurant, hoping to enjoy a quiet family meal. And so while they're waiting for their food, they notice a distinguished-looking white-haired man moving from table to table and visiting with the guest. The professor leaned over and whispered to his wife, I hope he doesn't come over here. But sure enough, the man did come over to their table. He says, where are you folks from? And they answered, Oklahoma. And he says, well, great to have you here in Tennessee. What do you do for a living? He says, well, I teach at a seminary, he replied. Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach, do you? Well, I have a really great story for you. And with that, the gentleman pulled up a chair, sat down at the table with the couple, and the professor groans in himself and thinks, oh, great, you know, just what I need, another preacher story. The man started, and he says, you see that mountain over there? He's pointing out the restaurant window. Not far from the base of that mountain, there was a boy born to an unwed mother. He had a hard time growing up because every place he went, he was always asked the same question. Hey, boy, who's your daddy? Whether he was at school or in the grocery store or drugstore, people would ask the same question, who's your daddy? He would hide at recess and lunch time from other students. He would avoid going into the store because that question hurt him so bad. When he was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to his church. He would always go in late and slip out early to avoid hearing the question, who's your daddy? But one day the new preacher said the benediction and so fast he got caught and had to walk out with the crowd. Just about the time he got to the back door, the new preacher, not knowing anything about him, put his hand on his shoulder and asked him, son, who's your daddy? And the whole church got deathly quiet. He could feel every eye in church looking at him. Now everyone would finally know the answer to the question, who's your daddy? This new preacher, though, sensed the situation around him and using discernment that only the Holy Spirit could give, said the following to that scared little boy. Wait a minute, he said. I know who you are. I see the family resemblance now. You're a child of God. And with that, he patted the boy on the shoulder and said, boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go and claim it. And with that, the boy smiled for the first time in a long time and walked out the door a changed person. He was never the same again. Whenever anybody asked him, who's your daddy? He'd just tell them, I'm a child of God. Amen. That distinguished gentleman got up from the table and said, isn't that a great story? And the professor responded that it really was a great story. And as the man turned to leave, he said, you know, if that new preacher hadn't told me that I was one of God's children, I probably would never have amounted to anything. He turned and walked away. And the seminary professor and his wife were just sitting there stunned. He calls the waitress over and asks her, do you know who that man was who just left, who was sitting at our table? And the waitress grinned and said, of course. Everybody knows him. That's Ben Hooper. He's the former governor of Tennessee. And that is such an awesome and powerful story because of what happened to a boy's life when he recognized he was a child of God. He was son of God. God was his father. You and I have to know that we are accepted by God and that he affirms us. When I was a boy, I am so grateful. I was raised in a good family. My dad, he was a good dad. He called me his number one son. Now, I had two sisters. I was the only boy in the family. But it still made me feel good that he called me his number one son. And to this day, it means a lot to me. That affirmation. And I understand tonight that me relating that story about myself and my dad, that some of you, it may almost be like a pain in your heart, or if you're viewing online, it may be painful because I know there's a lot of people. I have heard story after story of people's family lives, and some were okay and some were worse than not okay. And because of that, we can carry scars and injuries and wounds in our soul that are difficult. And so it can also be difficult for us to have an understanding of God as Father because of what happened in our childhood. But I want you to dare to believe tonight that in Christ, every one of us has a Father who gives us the affirmation, the kind of affirmation we long for. Twice in the Gospels, God the Father affirmed his Son. There in Matthew 3:17 and then Matthew 17, verse 5, both God the Father says to the Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is one of those things in the Bible that may seem too good to be true, and yet it is true. But that is because of Jesus, we are all, as we receive him, we are accepted in the beloved. The Father accepts us. God the Father accepts us and affirms us just as he did his Son, Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me a rush. And we need to be able to hear for ourselves. I prayed before the class tonight, God help us to receive this understanding. Really, we got to have revelation. Holy Spirit giving us revelation to where we can hear God for ourselves, the Father, say, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. We need to be able to hear that about ourselves and know that's true. Ephesians 1 verse 6 again, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. There it is again. There it is. So you know I'm telling the truth. That's the verse. If you're viewing online, then you're not seeing it, but it's there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. We are accepted and affirmed by the Father, and because of that, we can have confidence to come to him. And this is, again, why it's so important. We need to know we can come to God and receive from him. You know, I'm looking through my verses here. Oh, okay, I see what happened. I got behind. See, what happens, I get to teaching, and then I just get carried away. And so just jot the, you see them in your notes, and if you're viewing online, look it up for yourselves. But anyway, Ephesians 3 and verse 12, I already read that. I'm going to read it again because I want to. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Nope, that's the first time I read that one, right? We have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. And so we don't have to dread coming before God. We don't have to be afraid coming before him. We can have, we have free access to him. Free access. It literally means free admission. Now, when I was a stupid teenager, this was before I got saved, I snuck into a Three Dog Night concert with some friends of mine. And, you know, Three Dog, some of you know, one is the loneliest night. Eli's coming. All, you know, Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to go, really. But, you know, we felt it was cool because we got in free admission. Woo, it's free. But you know what? That concert was so boring, we left. In contrast to that, we should get really excited because we have been given access or free admission into the presence of God, and his presence is anything but boring. He is the one that spoke the worlds into existence, healed the sick, raised the dead, the one that nothing is impossible with. We have free admission into his presence. God made it so we wouldn't feel weird coming into his presence. So last week we talked about Adam and Eve. After they sinned, God didn't want them to be feeling strange and feeling weird about coming naked in front of him. And so God killed animals and skins and clothed them. You and I they were covered. You and I have not just been covered. It isn't just that we are, you know, God just covered over our sins. Jesus' blood not only covered, it cleansed. It wiped sin away from our lives. So you and I can come into his presence knowing we are completely free, completely clean, guilt-free, condemnation-free, and walk right into the presence of God. Not because we're so great, but because Jesus is so great, he cleansed us. He freed us. We have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Free admission into his presence. He wants us to feel comfortable coming into his presence. And I'm sure all of us here tonight have had experiences where we have been with people where we weren't real comfortable in their presence. In Kenya, when I was living there as a missionary, we rented a house from an older British guy, and this guy was just really stuffy. You know, he was just, I don't even know how to describe the guy. It was a nice place that we rented from. It was not, but you know, he wasn't easy to be around. But because he rented the house to us, he felt that it was he needed to invite us over for tea. And so we were invited. He had a very nice house. We came into his house. He had a guy that was waiting on us, and you know, he brought tea out. Well, the problem was, my son Dan was 4 years old. Laura at that time, she was, what, eight. And so the kids are little, and they bring out these little flimsy TV trays and china saucers and stuff. And, well, Dan, he's four, and he's trying to, you know, figure things out. Well, he bumps the TV tray, and off goes the china, and it burst on the floor, and we're just like that, you know, just feeling just really uncomfortable. And then the guy, you know, and he didn't just let it slide. Oh, that's okay. You know, that's kind of what most of us would have probably said. Oh, that's okay. You know what he said? He said, oh, that's all right. It was only my wife's antique Wedgwood china. Yeah, we felt kind of uncomfortable. We made excuses and, you know, exited stage left pretty quickly. But listen, God wants us to feel comfortable with him, where we can just come to him. If we need forgiveness, we can come to him freely for forgiveness, knowing that he forgives us. If we just don't feel like we are measure up, we can come into his presence freely. I'm not going to ask us for a show of hands how many ever feel like you just haven't measured up, because I know I'm in good company. But we need to know we have free admission at any time for anything. We don't have to be afraid of coming. Because why? He's Abba, Father. All right, then. Because God is Father, we can be free from the fear of not having our needs met. I mentioned my dad as I was growing up. I never had to worry about whether I was going to have my next meal because my dad always provided for us. I read something from a lady yesterday that she was writing about her life, and she grew up in a family that was a mom that didn't love her, let her know she wasn't loved, a stepdad that she knew she was just a burden to, and so she ran away from home left home, got out of that house as a young teen, lived with friends, would stay in friends' closets, and then eat the leftovers off of their plates, you know, and never knew what a loving family was until she married into another family and found love in that family that she married into. I know that there's a lot of people that have had harsh things in your background and in your past, but we must dare to believe that we have a Heavenly Father that is so good, so loving. We're meant to trust him on a daily basis. It's part of him being Father. Luke chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, Jesus is teaching them and us how to pray. When you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven, give us day by day our daily bread." So we're meant to have a daily dependence on him, right? Now, I don't know, again, how that we're always that great of doing this completely, trusting him every day for every need. If we did, we would never worry. We would never be anxious about anything. And so I think, though, we can get better at trusting. I know we can get better at trusting. It's just daring to believe that God is that good. And it's kind of a practice makes better kind of thing. It may not be perfect, but it can make us better as we practice trusting and relying on him. If we do, then we'll be less anxious, worried, or afraid, because he really does care and he really does help, doesn't he? See, even when things are tight in our lives, we can trust him that it's not always going to be this way. And I want to speak to that for a moment. I know that there are probably those here or you're viewing online or listening online that things are tight right now, financially tight. Don't think that just because you're going through something right now that it's just always going to be this way. We need to trust in our Heavenly Father for our needs today and for the needs ahead. Can you say amen? Amen. Our Father doesn't want us to be afraid of not having enough. This is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 31 and 32, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. And so knowing them, he's going to help us. He's going to meet our needs. We can dare to believe him, to trust and to come through for us. And I want you to tell yourself, I am going to trust God in my life. Because God is Father, we can be free from the fear of whether we are loved. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 again says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again the fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. See, I've never really even thought about this until just this moment. By whom we cry out. You know why we cry out? Because we're moved emotionally. We're moved deep inside. That's what has to happen. We've got to allow the revelation of the Father to get so deep where we cry out, Abba, Father. I want you to dare to cry out tonight, Abba, Father. Man, yeah, because he's Father. Now, this next verse is, again, one of those that just seems too good to be true, but it is true. Now tell yourself, I believe the Word of God. Listen to this. 1 John 3, verse 1. How great is the love of the Father, or the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Children of God. When my firstborn child, Laura, was born, it changed my life. I have a remembrance of sitting with her in a rocking chair in our house, rocking her back and forth, and looking down at this little girl, this little baby, and my heart was so full of love for her, and it completely blew my mind. It changed my life and changed my ministry. The idea that God's love for me far excelled my love for that little baby girl. I mean, it completely changed my life. And I'm still, to this day, kind of unpacking the reality of that as far as how much God loves us. I sang that little baby, made up a stupid little song. Laura Elizabeth, Laura Elizabeth, Laura Elizabeth, she's my friend. You know, didn't take me long to write that song. But it was corny and all that. But, I mean, you know, a parent, man, I just, now, listen. It's too good, I'm telling you. God the Father is overwhelmed in his love for us. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, he will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. In other words, he'll settle those fears and those worries and those anxieties down with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Yeah. Now, I've got to tell you, that absolutely overwhelms me, the thought of God singing over me, over us. But That's what his word says. Sings over it. Well, I don't know what he sings. And I will always love you. You know, much better. He has much better voice. And I don't know what he, but he sings. He rejoices over us. Dare to believe that. I know it's hard. God help us to open our minds, open our hearts. Let it get it deep into our hearts. Daring to believe that God loves us, that loves us individually that much to where he will rejoice, actually sing over us. It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. Crazy love. He loves us so much that it's impossible for him to forget about us. Isaiah 49, verse 16 says, see, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. This is God speaking. Isaiah 49, 16, Amplified, this is really incredible. Behold, I have indelibly imprinted, tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands. You know what this implies? God is inked. That's right. He's inked with a picture of us. We are God's tattoo, his divine ink. You say, come on, man. Isaiah 49, 16. Dare to believe it. Your picture. You say, how can all of us be? He's a big God. Got big hands. Okay. John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. God's perfect love. The Greek word that is, New Testament is largely written in the Greek. The Greek word used for God's love is agape. And I've written a definition from Rick Renner. He's an incredible Bible scholar and pastor. He describes agape love in the following way. Sorry, guys. Somebody calling me. The word agape is so filled with deep emotion and meaning that it is one of the most difficult words to translate in the New Testament. Trying to explain this word has baffled translators for centuries. Agape occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, or appreciates the value of an object or a person, causing the viewer to behold this object or person in great esteem, awe, admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. Such great respect is awakened in the heart of the observer for the object or the person he is beholding that he is compelled to love it. In fact, his love for that person or object is so strong that it is irresistible. So, what God is saying when he loves us is that we are simply irresistible. Now, there's a song there by Robert Palmer, but I'm not gonna do that. It's hard for us to conceive the idea that we are irresistible to God, but listen, this is too much. What else could explain the cross? The beating and the whipping of Jesus' body, the mockery, the ridicule, the pulling of the beard from his face, the nails in his hands and his feet, the spear thrust at his side. He suffered more than any man has ever suffered. Isaiah says he was marred more than any man. His sacrifice was more brutal than we will ever be able to imagine. And the reason for it was us. Amen. Jesus paid the price for us because we were irresistible to God the Father and it was the only way to pay for our salvation and freedom.
Amen.
That's awesome. And I want you to dare to believe tonight something that seems too incredible to comprehend, but it is true. You are simply irresistible to God. He loves us. It's overwhelming. God help us. God help us to get an understanding, greater revelation. And that's why, see, Jesus went through so much. Why? To reveal the Father. So let's bow our heads tonight. I want to take a moment. I don't know everybody that's here, or if you're listening online. There may be some who don't know, have not asked Jesus to forgive or to come into your life. I want to say a brief prayer to be forgiven. And you need to know tonight, as you've heard this, it's because you're hearing this by divine appointment. God the Father loves you, and Jesus paid the price because you were irresistible to him. He loves you so much. And I just want us, if we could just pray a brief prayer of forgiveness. You want his forgiveness. You pray this and mean it. And in a moment of time, you're clean. You're forgiven by Jesus. And then we're going to just pray this prayer and confession that I've written in your notes. But we can all just pray this out. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for me. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart. Make me a brand new person. I dare to believe that I am irresistible to the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing him to me. Because of you, I am free from fear, from the fear of being rejected by God. I can come boldly to the Father. I am free from the fear of not having my needs met. My Father will provide for me. As incredible as it seems, I am irresistible to him. Thank you, Father, for loving me enough to give your only Son for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you worship him and thank him for that love? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for your presence. I pray that as we go tonight, that we don't leave this revelation or this understanding of you behind. Holy Spirit, seal it deep into our heart. Help us to grasp. Let not this be a seed that the cares of this life and deceitfulness of other things, riches and all that, don't let it choke out this word. The thief shall not steal this word from our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that it's laid in that seed on good soil and it's going to spring forth and bring fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for revealing the Father to us. We love you. We praise you. Just say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Heavenly Father. I love your presence, Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Man, he's good. I mean, wow, that's about all I got to say about that. God bless you. Next week, we're going to talk about Jesus more. Bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.